And so starts another podcast.
What's up, everybody?
How are you doing? Hopefully better than this.
But now we are here.
We are.
We had took the liberty of playing a wonderful game of my childhood.
It was a game.
That sounds like you have an opinion.
Well, just
everyone's entitled to those, I guess.
Yeah.
The game that we decided to do was Mystical Ninja starring Goemon.
Goemon?
So you said you played a other Mystical Ninja game?
I did. I played one for the SNES.
I actually didn't know that there was multiples, to be honest.
Yeah, it was good.
I actually found that in research when I was looking up some information about the game.
It was fun.
Really?
We'll get into that later, I suppose.
So the game came out on the N64, I think in 98. So that was just fresh ripe in my childhood. Obviously, it's originated definitely a Japanese game. You can definitely tell.
Yes.
Very heavily influenced.
Yeah, it is. And that's not a bad thing.
No. I mean, both the game that you chose last week, Final Fantasy, and the game that I chose this week, were obviously both based in Japan.
Yep.
Except this one was definitely geared towards even... it was definitely geared towards like actual life in Japan. So it was actually themed more in Japan because the game took place there.
Yep, absolutely. Little coffee shops, little geisha ladies running around without their faces painted. And
yep, all that kind of fun stuff there. So realistically, the game itself wasn't something that I had owned, actually. I never actually owned the game when I was younger.
Just borrowed it.
Well, a little bit of a different story, that goes along with that, but we can get into that in a moment. I do believe first things first, we are going to have to play our intro.
Already? Is it that time for the intro already?
Well, I mean, everyone has their own opinion on what time it is for the intro.
End of the show is probably the best time for the intro.
Could you really qualify it as an intro at that point?
It's an intro-extro.
Intro-extro.
Yep.
I don't think that would be a good
We require you to listen to the last 2 minutes of our podcast prior to listening to the start of the podcast.
It sounds effective.
It's not
at all. For literally nobody.
Yes, everybody would hate it.
Well, so the game itself. Obviously, the main character is Goemon.
It isn't, though.
It kind of is.
You get to pick whoever you want.
Not really. You unlock a bunch of characters. How far did you get?
I got to the robot, but I didn't power him up.
So, Impact?
I don't remember his name.
Was it the...
No, it's the ninja one. Suzuju Gaka or something like that.
Sasuke?
That must be it.
Oh, okay. So you got into the Impact, which Impact was the gigantic homage to Power Rangers. Like, you get that Power Rangers vibe where you got into it and you're like, ah, oh, it's my battles.
Yep.
Battle bot. And you beat that, like.
And the dragon, too.
And the dragon. Yeah. Yep. Where you run up his back and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
It's a lot more left to the game than I thought.
Yeah. The game, obviously, is, like I said, main character is Goemon, but you mentioned that he's not. He is the main character because he is the main story progressor. However, there's another couple characters. I'm going to slaughter this, even though I took Japanese. Abisumaru, I think that's correct. Abisumaru, which is like the fat, perverted little guy.
I think he was Dr. Ying in the Super Nintendo version, because that's what I want to call him, is Dr. Ying.
Does he remind you of...
It's the same two characters, I swear.
Really?
And that one was, I thought, Dr. Ying. Yeah, he was naked at the start of this game.
Yeah, he wears mostly blue. He has a blue bandana. He's kind of fat and roly-poly. And then Goemon, he wears red and yellow, and he has massively blue spiky hair.
Yes.
And then you get a few different characters in the game. So Sasuke. So Sasuke in the game is someone you unlock later. And they're the one that has the sword. Kunai throwing, sorry. Sasuke throws a bunch of kunais.
The chick with green hair?
Yeah, I don't even know if that was a chick, to be completely honest.
Well, I just assumed it was a girl. I don't remember why. Something in the dialogue, I think.
Yeah, yay. She's like a she's the sword wielding one. I always get them mixed up. Sasuke is the robot dude. Basically, you start off the game naked. Well,
Bisumaru is
naked, and you guys are getting chased out of a shop.
Yep. For being naked.
Well, and then they later on explain in the dialogue, they're like, I thought it was going to work. And he's like, what would that be for? What the fuck would that do?
A sweet dance to bring the prices down. But it's not going to work. And I love the way he runs and skips.
Yeah. That's actually when I first fired up the game, that was actually one of the first things that started triggering my nostalgia. I was like, oh man, that run really brings me back. But I got slapped in the face, I'm not going to lie, with my nostalgia when I fired up the game. Like, before I even got to the main menu, before I even hit start, I was slapped with nostalgia. That intro music was unique. I wouldn't say it's good, but it was unique.
It's there. You remember it.
And I definitely remember it. And it's something that I could have gone without remembering, I guess, but... It's definitely a good song in the sense of it gets the job done.
Yes. Yep.
I would say overall the soundtrack was pretty good, though.
It's not bad, except I didn't have sounds in my whole playthrough. So,
well, that's unfortunate. Some equipment failure.
I don't know. It just wouldn't play through the
speakers.
Program.
That sucks. The story in this game. Incredibly stupid.
Yeah, but funny. I like the story.
Really, that was probably your redeeming factor.
That was the best part of the game.
It pays homage, the gameplay wise, pays homage to like Legend of Zelda, though. As far as what I've heard.
Yeah, very Ocarina-ish type of thing.
That's basically like, this is so, in a sense, because I've never played a Legend of Zelda game, none of them. This could, in theory, I guess, be my experience with the genre, and you could argue and say that this is my Zelda game.
Yep, that would make sense. And it's unfortunate that this is the Zelda game, but if you have to have one, I guess.
I mean, I never played one, and I'm assuming that our podcasting adventure will eventually take me to one.
It will.
I'm assuming later on, at least. As far as the story goes, kind of an interesting one. Basically, it starts off in just this town, and both you're the main character, so Goemon and Abismaro, you guys feel the earthquake with
it's trembling.
Yeah, trembling with
my little man titties were flapping.
And this peach shaped anus like comes out of the sky, looks horrible.
It does look so bad.
And then it like laser beamed like the temple
the castle Orion or Ordeon or some stupid thing,
yeah, like Oedo or something.
Yeah, it might be better.
And it turned it into a European style castle. So basically it's like a metaphor of the Europeans invading Japan and their culture and invading them with their culture.
Yep. And from what I got from the bits, the plot is the bad guys are going to turn all of Japan into a Western stage.
Right.
So they can do plays and whatnot.
Yeah.
In all of Japan.
And throw out their culture.
Yep, get rid of it. Bye-bye.
Right.
You no longer need it because we're going to own you.
I wonder what the reasoning that the storyteller of this was. Like, was this story written because they were in fear of this happening in Japan?
Well, if they were in fear of it, it would have been probably prior to nowadays. So it's more of a rehash of an old story. Because wasn't that like the 30s or something like
that? That's kind of what I was thinking. Like maybe they were referencing an earlier time period.
When they were attacking Japan and then the Western was coming over here to, or not attacking Japan, attacking China, trying to take over China, and England and all those other forces were in China and Japan at the same time, pushing their culture on them, bringing their priests and guns. And
correct.
It's kind of what I think, maybe.
That
maybe.
Is a possibility, but at the same time, like, it's kind of interesting that they would be worried about it, considering I would consider Japan to be one of the strongest cultured countries out there. They have some of the most, in my opinion, structurally sound embedded culture in their society.
Which is why they would be more scared of losing it.
That's true. That
like,
is.
We're fluid over here. Like, we go with the flow, America. We feel like this today, but tomorrow we're going to hate it.
A lot of people fucking despise that.
Yeah. Like, we're wishy-washy.
Yeah. And then a lot of people, like I said, hate that. And they can't stand people who are wishy-washy. They especially, I mean, I haven't been to Japan, but I think Japan doesn't appreciate that.
No, I don't think they do.
I think they prefer to keep it structured. They prefer to make sure that everything falls into place and in line as expected.
Yep. I would say I would have to agree with no schooling or knowledge of their world as it is right now. But if I think about their companies that sell things to us, they're rigid and strict in their structure when they present it to us. But their products are fantastic.
Yes, I agree. Especially their game design and games. They have made some of the biggest leaps and bounds in gaming ever.
Yep.
And without them, I don't think the gaming industry would be as big as it is.
I don't either.
So going back to your experience that you had, what was your first initial thoughts as someone who's never played it before?
Camera flipping angles. Oh my God. There's no way to turn the fucking camera on my controller. I reset all the options. I couldn't get a camera turned. So it's a typical Nintendo and games around this time period issue.
I think they were just getting used to the 3D space.
Yeah. And the graphics. Like, I love Nintendo for staying with the cartridge and not going to the CD and trying to make that work. But you can tell it's a 64 game.
Yeah, which honestly isn't that bad. N64 was probably one of my favorite consoles.
It's got a lot of good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but you know when you're playing a 64 game.
That is true.
Graphics-wise.
Yeah. The console itself wasn't very capable. There are actually spots in this game that you get on an N64 that actually lag.
I lagged a lot.
Yeah. So there's this one part just past the impact boss. I don't know. Yeah, you definitely got that far because you got to the dragon. As you're going up this like half circular ramp and you're fighting enemies all the way up, that part in that zone is utterly laggy, like incredibly so. And I guess that's not something that people really held to blame, or maybe it's just because the internet wasn't super big when this game came out. Maybe it's because they weren't able to
broadcast
social media it, if you will. So no one really complained about it, but I'm sure there were, obviously.
I think once you got to 3D, though, it was just that way. You just kind of had to deal. Some games did cameras fantastic, and others, even to this day, have camera issues. But it was just a little more predominant back then.
I think, well, with camera issues, you were more lenient towards them back then.
You didn't have a thing to do about it.
Yeah, no, you couldn't do anything about it. I mean, even you didn't have any experience potentially with other games in this 3D space that were better at the time. So growing into it, I mean, realistically, I personally don't know any 3D game of this era that I would be like, that camera was fantastic.
I would have to revisit them to figure out.
Which I guess
out.
We could actually have like a scale of how good camera angles are in 3D spaces and games that we're going to be playing. So I guess we'll start off that scale right now. So we're as a baseline, we will set Ninja Goemon, so Mystical Ninja starring Goemon, at a 0.
Yep.
Not that it's bad. We'll probably bring it to a scale of 0 to 10 and then 0 to negative 10. So we'll just set Ninja Goemon as the base and we'll rate it. I think that'd be kind of interesting to see how the camera angles actually, I know it's kind of a silly thing to talk about, But in realistically, it's one of the biggest aspects of any game that you play in a 3D world.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll set this one at zero and we'll just remember that this is the baseline.
Yep. And then we'll adjust here or there depending on what games we pick in our nostalgia genres.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a good idea. As far as the game goes, you got to the part where you just got Sasuke, but you never turned him on.
Yeah, I got past that too, but I got lost in the game. Like there, traveling through the towns and all that other stuff.
That's something I didn't realize when I was younger, how much of a puzzle game it was.
It was very puzzly.
Yeah, so like whether it be jump puzzles or finding the correct keys in the right
secret
area.
Secret games. The game has got the makings to be great.
Where did it fall short for you?
The gameplay.
Was it the camera angle that killed it, or was it elsewhere? Well, yeah,
camera angle killed it. And then just little things here or there, like moving and jumping.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the best I've ever played on a 64 either.
Were you like me, and when you started off, you accidentally wasted half of your money?
No, I didn't spend anything until later. I bought some helmets.
Well, did you know that you could change your weapon to your money?
Yes, yep. I knew that because you could do that in the first one, I think, too.
Gotcha. So you had a reference. Me, I blew through half of my money. I'm like, just I like this sparkly attack. It's a ranged attack. And then I realized, I'm like, fuck, I don't have any money.
Yeah, you just wasted it all. I even got like the fiery money before I was done with this.
Yeah, so I was like trying to figure out. I was like, I need money to buy equipment before I go up Mount Fuji, was it the beginning mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah, to get the chain pipe, which it's like a weapon tool that you throw out and then it grabs on to star blocks and then it pulls you towards them.
Yep, it was pretty cool. I accidentally got that before I know I needed it.
You were probably just exploring. Yeah. Did you get mugged by the guy out when you first started? Did you get mugged by the guy that's right around the corner?
I didn't get mugged by anybody. What? I was waiting to be, because that happened like in the other one too. There's weird things like that. And then I had read up later that that was supposed to happen.
That's bullshit. There's a purple creepy dude right outside like one of the main like walkways that you need to go to get to Mount Fuji. And he like runs at you and steals all your fucking money. And then you have to chase him down and beat him. Then you only get half of it back.
See, I was warned about him in chat. Like I talked to everyone, which took me like 2 hours to get out of that first town. Because I talked to every fucking person.
Yep.
Like, watch out for the mugger. And then I'm like, okay, where is he? And I never got
You guys
mugged.
Are all liars.
Yeah, and like a bunch of fucking bullshit.
I got mugged from, that was another nostalgia piece that I had. I was immediately infuriated. And then I had all that fury that I've had pent up for the last 20 years come back to me all at once.
No, not again. That I son of a bitch. Gonna fucking happen.
He's like, don't worry. Like 20 years ago, he's like, don't worry. I'll get you again sometime.
Yeah.
And then he fucking did.
What a bastard.
I know.
He's wearing a cool color too.
Purple. Yeah.
I wish I would have been able to see him and experience that.
He's purple or whatever I think he's wearing.
That's like what you were saying.
Like a kimono purple.
And I didn't see him.
Did you ever notice that money infinitely spawned?
Oh, yeah. You go back and forth in screens and pick money up in that water area.
Yeah. You could do it. So basically the zone would reset every single time you left the zone. And if there was like money or like jars to break, that you could re-break them. And there's this one that you can farm a lot of money real quickly. There's this room with like 6 pots.
Yes, I was there. I did it like 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I'm not the only one that thought of that. Like, I broke all the pots, collected all the money, ran out of the room, repeated that until I got a bunch of money to be super comfortable.
Yep.
And I kind of unfortunate that it did it that way.
You could just grind.
Well, it made it a non-factor.
Yeah.
You spent 15, you could spend like 8 to 10 minutes doing it, and you wouldn't need any money for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I didn't run out of money. I didn't buy some of the other equipment. Like, I bought a thing of rice for 50 and then 5 helmets. Oh,
like the rice balls or whatever?
Yeah.
So, like, if you got to 0 health, it'd bring you back to life?
Yeah.
Did you ever use it?
I did on the dragon's back.
Okay. You can rush through that thing like no one's business.
We keep getting smacked around by them stupid fucking balls.
You eventually develop a strategy. Did you figure out how to beat the boss that you first time take over Impact right away?
I don't know who Impact is.
So you got to the dragon. You would have needed to do the Impact boss.
Is that the big robot fight?
Yep, the big robot fight. did you figure out what to do right away, or did you fight him for
I had to fight him for a while and figure out the hard way. Like, this is, I'm like, I'm done with this game at this point because I can't figure this fucking boss out.
Oh, yeah. So it took me a while to get used to it. I had to fail the boss fight once because I was like, I'm chipping away at his health. Like, I can see his health bar on my, like,
right at the top of your HUD, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I know for a fact I'm doing damage, but this is such a fucking small amount. He has, like, 2,000 health, and I'm doing, like, 8.
It's dumb. And then you got to punch the missiles, punch the umbrellas, and then, so I would throw the chain at him. And he would get stuck there. I'm like, now what? Like, sure. I would dodge his missiles or punch his missiles in his fucking umbrellas.
You were punching the missiles?
Because it doesn't do damage to you then.
You can shoot him.
I didn't know what to shoot him with.
Well, you have a laser gun.
There was no fucking laser gun. Yes, there was. I hit every button on my controller and no lasers fired. So I was literally having to punch him and moving my crosshairs to each missile. Because if you were off just a little bit, they hit you anyway. Then you had to punch the fucking umbrellas he's throwing at you. Then I would hit him with the chain thing for 20 damage. Then I would wait, hit him with the chain thing again. Then I would miss, and he would throw missiles at me, and that chain took so long to get back, I couldn't punch him. I'm like, this is going to take me 3 hours to kill this guy.
So, okay, my first, like, realization of, like, what to do, I kind of picked up after a while. I kind of figured out what to do. So, you realistically, the best way to defeat him is you throw your chain out, you reel him in like a fish, or so to say.
Yep.
Like, you spam the A button or whatever button it was.
R1 for me.
And you pull him in, and then he finally comes in, and then after he's like melee range, you punch him a bunch of times, and then after you punch him like 3 or 4 times, he jumps back.
Yep.
And then
you immediately chain him again.
If your timing's appropriate, you can throw a chain back out, grab him, and do it, repeat that over and over. And then, like, if you miss your chain at all, he'll generally get into a phase where he'll, like, shoot missiles out at you. And that's when you're supposed to use your laser gun to shoot the missiles. You don't punch them.
I punch them.
I mean, good for you, man. I mean, I'm glad that you were able to punch him. But that's not something that I would recommend, because you could just shoot them.
Nothing shot lasers, so I don't know what happened there, but I didn't have lasers guns.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you get like a set amount of, like, I think it takes your money and lets you shoot your money at them, which is kind of funny.
I never tried to change my attacks with like the butt R, yellow left, C left.
No, I don't think you had to change your weapons, because like certain buttons were dedicated for certain actions. But this particular... then you would go into like a phase where he would go into like a faded purple, like doppelganger phase, and he would like try to like psych you out and slide around your HUD.
Yeah.
And you'd have to follow him and punch him before he punches you. And that's basically the fight. It's a little long just because he has a lot of health.
Yeah. Well, if you know how to reel him in, it's not long at all. But not knowing how to reel him in and punching the fucking missiles.
If you're not a pro angle fisher, you're done.
Yeah. I accidentally figured out how to reel him in. I don't even know how. I just noticed that tapping L, actually it was L1, I brought a bar up. I'm like, well, what happens if I keep tapping it? And thank God I did, because I would have been done with the game at that point.
What? You could have shot me a text and be like, hold on, what the hell do I do here?
I should be able to figure it out.
That's true.
Just on my own.
Again, yeah, this kind of goes back to you mentioning the, you know, Final Fantasy not really giving you any... hand-holding abilities.
Yeah,
Ninja Goemon's kind of that way, not as brutal, because there are a lot of townsfolk. They put you in the right direction.
They did a good job. Or the fortune teller.
The fortune teller. So that's probably a good way to do it without, you know, hand spoon feeding, because you'd have to go. So the fortune teller is like outside. It's like just inside the town, but on your way out of it.
Yeah.
You can visit the fortune teller. You pay him
$10.
Ten,
whatever.
Ryu. And then it does some weird dialogue like plasma or whatever. And then it's like, you should visit this place.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
And I went back a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, you go do something and then not really sure where I go now. So let's go visit the fortune teller.
So I like that aspect, actually. I think that was an interesting way to progress story without, you know, keeping it easy, but not making it too terribly hard either.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. The item system's very simple in the game. It is not complicated.
No.
Which I kind of wish it was, with a bit more RPG elements. But I guess what can you do?
Yeah.
You have a few different characters to select from as you're playing through the game. They have their own abilities and special abilities. And then Goemon eventually turns into a Super Saiyan, like literally.
Nice.
Like he actually gets yellow hair.
That's crazy. Copyright infringement, maybe?
I mean,
Dragon Ball. There's a fine line. Late 80s or mid 80s?
Oh, yeah. That was definitely around at the time. Ninja Goemon's actually kind of designed around a, I wouldn't want to call him mythical. What would...
Majestic?
No. He's based on an actual...
like a legend or...
A legend, yeah. That would be a good term for it. Based on a legend. The legend of Ishikawa Goemon. That's the one that he's based on. Loosely, of course, because there's no like close connections. But in Japanese culture, I think he's pretty well known.
Right, if we were there, we would know of him. Or if we lived there long enough, we might have heard tell of such a person at one point or another.
Yeah, I think their comparison would be Robin Hood.
Okay.
Kind of like a, you know how like everyone knows what Robin Hood is type of thing?
Yeah.
I think that's basically what
Our version would be Paul Bunyan.
I guess.
But not a thief. Just as far as, I don't think we have any, you know, Jesse James gang maybe, but... To fit more in what they are over there, it would be like a Paul Bunyan type thing.
I guess, sort of. I could see that. Other than that, the game had its own kind of charm, kind of its own humor, if you will, which is actually something that I probably didn't really follow when I was younger, because I was pretty young when the game came out, but I played the crap ton of it. I never really owned the game, so I never bought it. I ended up renting it majorly from the video store.
Nice. When those were a thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful times.
Back when the video store was the primary way to get games without buying them.
Internet killed the video store.
You're going to get sued. No. But it's kind of an not really embarrassing, but when I played this game the most, there were two eras of games that I played because of a certain scenario that happened in my life. Back when I was younger and my dad died, he died when I was 4. So the game itself, Ninja Goemon, the game itself in America came out in 98 and I was born in 92. So my father passed away a couple years prior and... this was the era of like the Super Nintendo, the N64 transition for me. And the reason why I got pretty familiar with the game is because after my father passed away, I had a lot of hospitalization issues. I was hospitalized every year, sometimes multiple times a year. And I would stay there for 3-4 days sometimes. And it was a lot to do with, I know it sounds kind of dumb, but dehydration. I couldn't keep my fluid levels up, no matter how much I tried. You know, I tried different various techniques, you know, a lot of electrolyte drinks like Gatorade and stuff like that. And I would need to be on an IV. And I think a lot of it had to do with my father passing away and causing a lot of trauma on me. My mom was very supportive of it, but I was just a young kid and it's hard to have your mom stay overnight at a hospital. So I was alone a lot. In that hospital at night, not during the day. My mom was always there.
Yep.
But at night, I would have nothing to do. So I would always beg the hospital staff to find me a Nintendo or an N64, and they would. And they just as long as I think they had some, like a couple games, but they all fucking sucked.
Yep.
Just kind of like their hospital food.
Is it pudding? Or is it Jell-O?
Jell-O. They didn't feed me pudding.
Oh, I don't like Jell-O, but.
So my mom would rent me a couple of games, you know, and say, hey, here's a couple games. Like, hopefully this will help you when I'm not around. And that's pretty much where I got most of my gameplay with this particular game, actually. So it kind of holds like a weird spot in my heart.
Yeah, I get it.
But because of the spot in my heart that it holds, I never went back to it, like ever again.
I didn't want to break that charm.
Right. And I'm going to say this. I don't think I broke it.
Nice.
So even when I replayed it, you know, it wasn't as fun as what I remember, of course, due to different circumstances. but I didn't hate it. I'm okay with the type of platformer that it was. I mean, it's not a platformer, it's an adventure game, but it does have its puzzles and its jumping and its timings and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not disappointed in it.
No, it had a lot of like cool stuff in it. It just
missed in some areas.
It just missed in some areas for me, which are crucial, unfortunately. Like, I was even almost getting motion sick when I first started, but that went away a little bit, thank God.
Right.
But it was still fun, and I think I would still finish it.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's one I'll go back to and revisit, possibly because of the first one that I played, holding such, which we may have to go back to that in a later nostalgic episode, because I did end up buying that one and a Super Nintendo because of that game.
So your original reason why you bought a Nintendo?
Yeah. It was one of like three reasons to buy my own Super NES with my babysitting money. The kids I babysat had the game, and I bought their Super Nintendo with their games.
So the localization that this game had, it was relatively, I guess the word that some critics used was like offbeat humor.
It was a little, it was a little offbeat. It was enjoyable though.
Right. And I guess there was a lot of like random variating sexual innuendos. And I guess when I was younger, I definitely didn't pick up on those.
Just the skipping and the running that Dr. Yank, well, whatever you call him, does is a lot. And he's got like fishnets on his arm. I don't know if you noticed that.
But yeah. I didn't notice it when I was younger, though.
No, you wouldn't. It'd be like, oh, cool armor.
So as far as like takeaways from revisiting my nostalgia, that would be something that I definitely looked over when I was younger.
And then you have to wonder, what were the nurses thinking as they would come check on you and you're playing this game with this dude? La, 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 la.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about it.
Like, this kid loves this game. Why? What is going on? I bet you I know what he's going to be later in life.
I mean, I'm sure there's some grandparents that like took their kid away from SpongeBob because like...
Oh yeah, SpongeBob does it too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're... That's something that I was kind of in this transition time frame where I was just getting too old for SpongeBob. But let's be real. Why are you too old for SpongeBob?
Is there a too old for SpongeBob?
That's exactly it. So I was in this awkward like age where I thought, you know, watching SpongeBob was for little kids. And then I transitioned into a little bit older and I was like, holy shit, this is actually good for all ages.
Yeah, SpongeBob's fantastic.
I would honestly throw on a TV and watch it.
I still do.
Yeah, there's so many things that are for adults.
I put my daughter in the room and hope if anyone comes in, they're like, that's why they're watching it.
Yeah.
So, but it really isn't. It's because I want to watch it.
So that same scenario that you brought up, like grandparents would probably watch SpongeBob and be like, holy shit, why are my kids watching this? They need to stop.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, probably what the nurses felt when I was playing Ninja Goemon, they're like, hold on, what is this? Some Leisure Suit Larry bullshit?
Yeah,
like,
that would be about the right time, too.
Fun fact about Leisure Suit Larry. So this is kind of an off topic. I've never played it in my entire life.
I've watched videos.
I actually haven't even done that, but I know how bad an adult it was. And every time I wanted to play it, I wanted to go to Blockbuster and rent it because they had a slot for it. And I was like, oh, this game looks fun.
Yeah.
You know, 10-year-old me is like, this game looks real fun. And like, I'd keep visiting, trying to check up when it is. I'm pretty sure someone just fucking kept the game because it was never there. My mom used to go to Blockbuster weekly and I would always go with her just to check to see if that Leisure Suit Larry game was in there. And it wasn't. So in other words, I spent like an upwards of 2-3 years trying to get that copy rented. And I would always ask. Well, I didn't ask. I was kind of nervous to ask about the game. I mean, I was 10 years old. Why would I ask a dim play like, hey, when do you get this Leisure Suit Larry game?
Yeah, what is it? Is it
but
fun?
It was there waiting like on the shelf, but no copy behind it. Because I don't know if you remember how Blockbuster did it. They'd put the game copy and then the Blockbuster copy behind it.
Yeah.
At first, at least. Then they started putting all the
discs. Had to go up there with the thingy.
Yep. Then they started doing that. But at first that they would let you grab the copy behind it and just bring it up and rent it. I waited, like I said, I upwards of 2 years to try to figure out how to get that. So, I mean, I was dedicated.
Yeah, maybe there was a reason. Your mom went in there and was like, well, let us have it.
I actually have a feeling that there's just some fucking creepy pervert that was like, I can never
give
up this game.
They would have ordered another one, though.
I don't know about that.
There like, might have been a... Well, because that's what they do. If someone lost or kept a copy, they charge your account. They order a new one.
I like to just imagine that this dude was renting it for 2 years straight.
I mean, he could have. I mean, it's possible. It is where we live. It's not an impossibility that, like, here's another 20. Let me keep it for a week.
And then in the Japanese translation of Goemon, the wise man actually collected hentai.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah.
Car magazines to not quite so much car magazines. Which is funny because if you watch anime, normally the subtitled anime for over the seas is cleaner than the dubbed anime. Like they bring it to America, they dub it, and the tits and ass are everywhere. No bleepers, no little bright lights blocking it out. So it's funny that back in these days, they took that out and replaced it with cars instead of it being cars over there and hentai over here.
Did you just say hentai?
I did. I said the wrong word, but it's okay.
I think the new word for hentai is hentai.
Hentai. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Sounds real dirty.
It does. Because you could pie on your hen.
Oh, boy.
Is that creamy this or not creamy?
This is not a sexual podcast.
It wasn't until you brought in the old wise
You're
man.
The one bringing up hentai.
You started it. You brought it up first.
Hentai. I said hentai.
I know, but it's the same thing. I just used the wrong word because I do that. It's dyslexia. I misplace letters.
As far as reception for the game goes back then, it was mostly okay. I do believe that there was a lot of the critics would criticize their localization. So, like, the English versus Japanese translations, which I could honestly agree with to a point. Because, I mean, sometimes the game took its charm from this awkward, like, dialogue.
Yep.
But it didn't sit well, I think, with a lot of reviewers. But most of its praise didn't come from its gameplay either. It actually came from its soundtrack.
The soundtrack was very empty for me.
I kind of wish you were able to experience, honestly, the arguably one of the best proportions of the game. Don't get me wrong, minus the intro music, which was really fucking weird. The rest of it was actually pretty good. There was a couple rehashes, so they took like the main town music for one. They duplicated it and moved it to another town, but then they changed like the tempo and then like the pitch. And it sounded like a completely new song.
That's pretty cool. A lot of games back then would just rehash that same music for town. It was the town music, quote unquote.
Right. And they wouldn't design it for a specific town. They would design it for a town.
Yes. Yep.
The game didn't have any single player or anything like that. Single player. Didn't have any multiplayer.
I'm pretty sure I only played it in single player mode. What happened?
So the N64 version was equipped with 4 controller slots.
Which was fantastic.
Which
everything else was 2 up to that point.
Yep. And
maybe some old Atari had 4 though.
Yep. So the N64 was equipped with 4. And this game was a single player game. No multiplayer. Which you honestly could think that it was geared towards it. I mean,
kind
granted,
of.
It's localization. Not localization, its optimization was poor, so I doubt that it would help with more character models on the screen. However, you had 4 characters to play from. So you had Goemon, Abismaru, Sasuke, and then Ye.
Yep.
I would honestly say that like it was almost ready.
Well, the first version had 2 player. Like one of you was Goemon, and the other one was, I don't know if it was called Goemon then. I want to say it was like Yin and Yang. And Dr. Ying was the Ibusumari or whatever you call him.
Ibisumaru.
Yeah. And Goemon was player one. And you could switch. You could play either one in single player mode as well.
Right. Yeah, which I wouldn't have any idea about. Like I said, I've never played the game. The game sold pretty well, regardless of that, which was 200,000 copies.
It's not bad.
Which at the time was also praised for actually its graphics, I guess. Because I guess it did push the console.
It did. Well, it's not hard to push 64. I mean, they had to add an extra spot for 4 megabytes of RAM.
What was your first thought of the creepy-ass enemies?
The enemies? They're really weird. Like
when you walk out for the first time towards Mount Fuji and you see that little creepy girl doll.
In the dress, yeah.
Like, pink, what the weird, fuck is that?
I thought she was a weird candy corn. monster at first, but she was pink, so obviously it wasn't candy corn, but that's the triangular shape they were.
Yeah.
It was goofy.
Yeah, and then like they wobbled at you. All they wanted to do was touch you.
Yeah, they wanted to touch something on you. Mm-hmm. Get stuck. I'm like, do I let him touch me? I bet you I call him the doctor in my head, but he's of course not the doctor in this game, but like, yeah, he would like it. Let him take his clothes back off. Stick you to his side.
Doubt the game would be rated as is.
Probably not, but...
Yeah, it was E for everyone. I think that would immediately be out the door.
Yeah, I think that's why they had to put car magazines in there, too.
Yeah.
E for everyone is not smut.
Right. The game market was young in America at the time, so they had to make sure that they broadened their audience, so I get the localization on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as any other stories go with the game, I think that the hospitalization one was the key one. I have another game that I may or may not choose to play for a nostalgia that has to do with that kind of like hospitalization period, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, as far as like the listener goes, you're probably thinking that I'm some mental case. No. Like I said, it was just dehydration, and it was like for like 4 years out of my life. So like age like 5 to like 8 or 9.
You drank a lot of pop.
No, actually that wasn't the issue. I don't know what it was. It was something else, because I didn't drink a ton of water. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, even now I don't, and I do just fine. But there was another game that was in that time period. I was just put in the hospital for that small duration, like a couple days a year, which wasn't like crazy long. But like I said, I have a lot of fond memories with those two games. And one was for the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, and then the N64, which is this one. But other than that, I don't think I ever played it at home, just at the hospital. And I probably got, 20 to 30 hours into the game.
Which is pretty good for back then.
Well, right. I definitely got pretty far into the game, but I was kind of a completionist, so I actually never completed it.
So you're left out.
Right.
You have that closure not closed.
Right, and I don't know if I want to close it. Like, sometimes nostalgia is better off to be left open.
Leave it where it was.
Exactly. Which is also another interesting perspective of experiencing some of the nostalgia. Like, some of the episodes may ruin it.
Probably will.
Right.
Like, we kind of went into that knowing that this could ruin some of our childhood.
Yes. And much so appropriate as we accepted that possibility.
And life goes on. We're sad. Things are different than we thought they were. And so on and so forth. But hopefully it's not too bad.
Right. We'll have to hopefully in moderation accept the fact that our childhood is dwindling.
A complete lie.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that this podcast were to ruin it. It would probably have been ruined otherwise.
Yeah. We're going to hit these games either way at some point in our lives. Like, as we collect flush out our collections, so to speak, we're going to buy them. Like, I'm going to buy them. All these nostalgic games, I'm buying them as we do the podcasts, or I've already bought them and we're playing it because of that.
So I guess actually I just looked, and apparently there was a follow-up to this game.
Ooh, I did not know that either.
Well, it was considered like a sequel for the Game Boy.
Oh, that's probably why.
And apparently it had gameplay similar to the one that you're familiar with.
Ooh.
Interesting.
That is kind of cool.
What kind of gameplay was the original one that you played?
It was overhead. Like, you had your player, you just ran around the map like a normal is it even platformer? Probably. But the map would move up and down with you.
Adventure?
Yeah, it's an adventure game.
Kind of like the original, like, Zelda?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you, like, fight monsters and so on mm-hmm. and so forth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there was an amusement park, so you could go bet on horse races and stuff.
Interesting.
And it was fun.
This series was a lot more popular than I remember.
Well, you were also a wee tyke.
Right.
And not having it at home, you'd only have it in stages when you were hospitalized. So that would be common.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't even know it existed beyond the first one.
Right. like, for example, when I mentioned it at the end of the last episode, you were like, hold on, they made another one?
Yeah.
They actually, there's like been multiple, like there's like eight games.
Eight?
Like eight.
Eight mystical ninjas.
Well, they're, some of them weren't translated.
Oh, so they're still Japanese.
Yeah. So I think there was a certain point that they realized that it wasn't reaching the American same market. Levels. Like I said, this game was actually pretty heavily Japanese influenced.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was set in Japan. I get it.
We went to Mount
I could
Fuji.
See where some of the actual gameplay would be off-putting to some of the American audience, though.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't think it would sit well with anyone current days. So I can't imagine that they would remake another one.
No, well, they might. You know, the more we get older and start craving those things from our childhood. Is the perfect time to restart things of that nature if you can do it well. There have been renditions of things, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, that did not go well. But they still did them because look at like the things that were popular when I was a kid are now worth a ton of money on the market because all of us older people have money now and we want that stuff back.
Didn't they remake GoldenEye?
I believe so. I don't have any facts to go with that, but it sounds familiar. GoldenEye was fantastic.
Because I think that would probably be the one example that I could give you. If they, you know, like remaking it. Yeah. If I recall correctly, I could have swore that they remade it.
It's not, that sounds super familiar. I know Perfect Dark was like version 2.
Yeah,
and
okay.
That was good.
They launched, okay, so there was an 2010 version that came out for the Wii.
Ooh, that would could be good.
And it was a remake of the 1997 version. And if I remember correctly, the game was fucking horrible.
Probably. That'd be hard to port to a
so
Wii.
That would be one that would, I would say that they remade or revisited and they ruined it.
Yep, that wouldn't be a good conversion.
007, when I was a kid, GoldenEye was the shit.
Yep, and you have all these versions with way better graphics.
So you played that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't visit that.
We couldn't do that one.
We couldn't do that as an episode, so I'm okay with talking about it a little bit. I used to like sit and start up a multiplayer mode by myself, and I would used to do like try to find random glitches. Like I remember specifically, I forget the name of the level. It was like the one with all the computer monitors. Do you remember that one?
I do. I don't remember the name of it though either.
It was like facility or something. And like you could like go up like the stairs.
And it had green walls and silver walls.
Yeah. And then like you could come into like the control room. There's a massive window. And then there's TVs that are like on top of like the ceiling.
You can see where everybody's running around.
Yeah. Where you could see where everyone's running around. And I remember a glitch where if you would throw a mine up on the TV and blow up the TVs, your mines are now glitched. And every time you throw a mine, it floats.
Wow, it's kind of cool. I didn't know about that glitch.
Yeah, and that was something that I would just do stupid shit like that. I'd throw mines on everything, try to make it glitch out or stupid shit like that. And I loved the crap out of that game.
Yeah, the game was so good.
And it was weird because you couldn't aim automatically.
No,
you had to stop.
Physically aim.
Yeah, you had to stop and pull like the aimer trigger and then pull back on the joystick, which was inverted.
Well, yeah, I think you could switch it, though.
Yeah, I think I played with it inverted because something familiar sticks out with that to me where I pull back and it would look up that way and you could shoot off in the direction. It was really hard to get into like a gunfight, but it was super fun to have. So it was a little slower paced of a first-person shooter, but I think it was almost perfect for its era.
Oh, it was such a good game. Well, I never played online. We only played multiplayer on the same TV. And we'd have...
I don't think there was online.
There might have been. I don't know.
I don't think N64 didn't have any internet capabilities.
Oh, nice.
So I played with, you know, four people. I'd invite friends over, yeah. And we'd play with four people.
But you always slugged the guy who picked odd job.
Oh, yeah, because he gets that stupid one-shot hat.
Yeah.
And you'd always slug the guy who would look at your screen while you're playing. Yep. You're like, I know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you motherfucker, I know you're looking at my screen.
Yep. Stupid bastards.
So I'm glad we got to revisit that together, but unfortunately that won't be able to be an episode because if you didn't play it, I was definitely going to choose it, and I bet you would have probably chose it if I didn't play it.
Yeah, that game, we played the shit out of it.
Yeah.
So it would have to be picked.
Yeah. The story was something on another level, too. That was kind of fun.
It was fun.
Because, I mean, there was like a hint of stealth that you could do, and all that kind of stuff. And I really liked that.
It was good. It was a good all around game.
I agree. So back to Goemon. Besides the camera and stuff, what other takes did you have on it?
I mean, it was fun. I liked, you know, the combat was pretty good. The different weapons were pretty good. I never got a chance to upgrade my weapons. Supposedly, you're supposed to be able to upgrade them to different levels, and then you can take out, like, different parts of the map. You need a level 2 weapon to knock this rock out of the game so you can get to this part of the map. I don't know if that was really...
Oh, you're referring to, like, the metal plate or whatever?
Yeah, yep. So I didn't get far enough... Or didn't figure out how to upgrade your weapons, but you could do the upgrades in the first one as well. So I knew it was a part of the game. I didn't know how to
basically
do it.
NPCs were all of the ways to do it completely, like their the right quests.
One. Yeah, but it was a fun game. It was put together well. If they fixed the camera, it would be probably an 8 or 9 out of 10 for me.
Really?
I think so. But the camera brought it to like a 4.
Ooh.
Yeah. I just could not, like, I get on the little ledges, and I got to jump across, but I can't get the camera to turn so that I can see in front of me, so I jump the right way. So it's like a blind jump with the chain to hope I hit the star block to get across there, because you can't walk to the edge to hit the star block. It's a physical jump to hit it. But,
well,
yeah, it was good.
So I actually think that was a really cool way to kind of top off the episode, I guess. You would definitely come back to it.
Yeah, I think this is one I am going to finish.
I mean, I don't think you have a lot left.
No, there's not a ton left. I need to get...
Games in this era were like eight hours tops.
Yeah. Like, probably halfway or a little past halfway, I think.
I think you're about halfway. And for me, back in the day, I probably would have rated this an 8 or 9 as well. Because I always loved the game. It always... was something I would think about when I'm at home, and I wanted to buy, but I could never find a copy, which wasn't unheard of back then.
Yeah, it was easy to not find one back then.
Right. Especially with a game like this that would have like a low audience, going to your local store to buy isn't unheard of to not be able to find.
You would have had to go to Montgomery Ward's and hope they still had it.
Right. So I never was able to purchase it, but like I said, I rented it quite a few times. I would have rated it an 8 or 9, and my, probably say my current rating as far as like what I would rate it now. Even with the camera, I'd probably say 6 out of 10.
That's not bad.
No. Nostalgic level still, I think, is an 8 or 9 for me, just because it hit me pretty hard with a lot of the areas. But other than that, that was pretty much the thing. So I don't know if I'll ever finish the game. I guess we'll have to find out.
We'll revisit this later.
Yeah, we'll come back maybe in a few different episodes and say, yeah, we finished it, by the way. But I was happy with the nostalgia that it brought. So actually, I did appreciate that. Other than that, we're going to be taking on a guest next episode.
Yep, Dragon Guard?
Drakengard.
Drakengard.
So we'll be joined by a lovely guest.
Well, I don't know if lovely fits his description, but...
we'll
he
let
normally
him,
smells pleasant.
We'll let him introduce himself on the next episode, but he has chosen Drakengard for us.
Which I've never even heard
me
of,
neither.
To be honest, which is weird because this is, again, right down my alley for games.
Yep.
And PS1 era.
Yep.
Which means I hit gaming hard right around then, too.
So, yeah, and yeah, proceeding into like the PS1, PS2 era, you would have been in it.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's actually something that we're excited for. And other than that...
Hopefully you're excited for guests, too.
Yeah.
I mean, can't imagine they're sick of our voices with just a few
I can't even imagine the actual, like, logistics of how this is going to work.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out, huh? Hopefully
we'll play it by ear.
Yeah, right. Every time we play it by ear, we end up with failed episodes of horrible recordings. And we're hoping that even this one came through. We don't even know if it's working.
We don't know.
We didn't test.
We didn't. We're crossing our fingers since we had one go flawlessly last week.
So please forgive us. I have to put in a lot of editing with editing out the car noises in the background.
Yeah, we're at my house this time, though, so there was less of those.
Yeah, so less of those, but I may have had to have edited out some gunshots. And I think we could have died. And I think Kevin may be dying. I'm not sure.
It's just bleeding a little.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I don't know if I'd qualify that as a little.
I've had worse from bathing my cat in the shower.
Who the fuck bathes their cat?
Cats need baths too.
Like, Cats are people?
Cats are people. I look good in the skirt. I got the legs and hips for it. We'll see you.